How can we seriously question Eurocentric knowledge? How can we imagine a didactic path on the traces of colonialism in relation to today for an intergenerational learning community? How to make an ethnographic museum a laboratory of decolonization? Concerning Words is a podcast by the Goethe Institute of Rome, curated by Viviana Gravano and Giulia Greghi. As part of the Transcultural Attentiveness Project, in collaboration with MUCI, Museo delle Civiltà di Roma, different points of view, perspectives, and voices are compared in order to ask ourselves together about possible ways of decolonizing our present. Episode 3, Clementine Delis.
Some thoughts about the laboratory in the museum. Clementine Delis, October 2021. If I was to propose the two key issues that of greatest concern in the remediation and redesign of former ethnological museums, then I would point out space and collections. There is no area in the museum, either backstage or front of stage, where a transdisciplinary constellation of different objects, artifacts, artworks can be brought together and analysed from different perspectives in order to develop a new methodology of interpretation. This question of the redefinition of space is paramount. We have inherited and created a colonial matrix with the museum. This matrix of architecture, the flow of the human body, the way artifacts are presented, whether they're contextualized or whether they're produced under, you know, strong, powerful lighting, pedestal power, so to speak, the art exhibition. All of this is part and parcel of how we look at museums today. We haven't destabilized the architectonic matrix of the museum. It's been exported all over the world, it's been appropriated, it's been remodeled on a local level, and just as we had 1989, and a paradigmatic shift with globalization in art and politics today in 2021, we have to deal with another shift, an important shift that we can't change, and that is the decolonial. And that has to affect the way we use spaces in museums. We need a third space, a space where artifacts can be brought together, where it's not about public display, where the artist is not the auditor or the, you know, purely the person who can mediate the difficulties of the past. The artist is neither an interior designer, nor are they an illustrator. So we need a kind of an area where the question of public observation is stalled. It's only in that kind of a condition that new meanings can be produced within the problem of the colonial disciplines themselves that are attached to the museum and are the foundation of such a difficult and problematic disciplines such as ethnology. The complexity of today's decolonial imperative affects all museum typologies, be they old or new, art historical, contemporary or ethnographic, located in the global north or reconfigured elsewhere. Alongside demands for restitution, collections in museums of the global north are effectively toxic witnesses to genocidal practices. And strangely enough, whereas we were just about reaching a moment when museum ethnology would have to hand over the keys to a much more inclusive, aware, considerate, decolonial approach, provenance studies comes up. And provenance studies, as you know, is going back into the archives, trying to create equity between what was not written down at the time and what could be sourced from the original communities in order to enable the colonial, decolonial, post-colonial, the museum, so to speak, to salvage the discipline that once accompanied colonial exploitation. Ultimately, ethnology has produced a cult of possession, of inscription, an obsessive focus on determining and unraveling life's unknowns embodied in the religious objects of other peoples and embedded within the violent and racist dramaturgy of ethnographic museology. Again, another very good reason as to why we need a third space in museums where research can be undertaken. This is what I call the museum university. In my mind, museums need to move away from the consumerist pull. We don't need a department store of culture. We don't need and we don't want the extraordinary costs that are brought to bear on museums by introducing architects and interior designers that remove the collections and introduce multimedia interactive tables and wall displays and short texts that are flickering and shiny and allow people to walk through quickly and know that they've had some kind of whatever intercultural experience. We don't need that. We need to bring the democratic intellect into the museum through a type of open university, a university that is based on the analysis and reinterpretation of collections. We have to stop thinking that we need permanent exhibitions and temporary exhibitions. Just bring the material into the space of the museum. A radical move would be to do that directly in the public space. But if this is not possible, then we have to begin to work on designing elements of furniture, mobility, that will enable the juxtaposition of different elements from the holdings of colonial museums, and allowing, therefore, a new way of analysing what we have in front of us. This does not mean that we are proposing an incompetent iconoclasm. On the contrary, we are clashing different methodologies of interpretation that have emanated from colonial disciplinary discourses, and we're bringing them, this competence, we're bringing it into a new configuration to, in the hope that we might produce a decolonial methodology. A transdisciplinary methodology. I wonder whether new formulations of higher education might extend more aggressively across the museum, the art school, and the university. Imagine, if you would, how a storage depot could become like a greenhouse for the diasporic and transdisciplinary student body to nurture and curate constellations out of diverse collections. Just like the interdependencies of human metabolism, nothing would be seen in isolation, but become a reflection of temporary mutualities between artworks, people, objects, media, equipment, experiences, observations, laws, economies, and affects that challenge the monopolies of the museum and university to produce and control new diasporic knowledge, including visual representation. And coming back to the Babylonian divinatory potential, I would argue that all museum collections are like liver. Everything passes through the liver. It's the imprint of a relational experience. To be read as divinatory, liver, like collections, needs to be excised from its existing corpus or discipline to acquire contemporary intersectional meanings. For these to emerge or be revealed, the liver has to be placed within a set of circumstances that can provide a symptomatic analysis of the future. For example, a country goes to war, a person battles with another, a family seeks solace after death. All look for a route to the future. The museum becomes an area, a space for the renegotiation of the past. For this, whether we call it a laboratory, a workshop, or whether we have the courage to quite literally transform the use of the architecture of museums in today's concepts, with today's concepts and in relation to what I would call the student body of all ages, well, that remains to be seen.